Tensions in the community. The state government says it will roll out an extensive campaign to improve the wider community understanding of Islam and Muslims. The move has been applauded by Muslim leaders who say the campaign is encouraging. Muslim community leader Faisal Chotia is with me to discuss a possible campaign and its potential impact. He joins me live on RTR in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great move by the state government to roll out quite an extensive campaign, but do we know what's going to be involved yet?
We're not quite sure. But nevertheless, I think it's a positive move on the part of people like Mike Nehan. I think it bodes well. And frankly, it's high time it was done. No doubt lots of grassroots community organizations have been doing it, myself included, many even within the Christian community and other non-denominational communities, academic institutions and the like have been doing it. So it has been done. The results have been very positive. I can talk from experience. People are looking for an alternative to the narrative that's been spewed through conventional mainstream television. And it's great that this initiative has been taken on by the likes of Mike Nehan. I've met Mike before, and, you know, kudos to him. What exactly it'll entail, we're not quite sure yet. But I do understand that the intention is to at least clarify most of the misconceptions associated with the faith and the people. There's a beautiful Arabic saying, it goes, "Al-insanu a'da'u lima jahilu," that people are antagonistic towards what they don't understand. And I think that's the first step in effecting a rapprochement between our various faith communities and cultural groups in Australia.
Well, let's talk about these misconceptions that you hope will be diminished somewhat by this campaign. What misconceptions are there in the community about Islam and Muslims at the moment?
Look, first
it's
and
a very basic question,
yeah.
I know. But
yeah. First and foremost, most of the community are not really languishing under these misconceptions. And I think the very encouraging turnout in the anti-racist camps challenging the Reclaim Australia chauvinists or bigots, call them what you wish, are primarily from, you could say, non-Muslim community groups. If you look at the Perth event, for example, there were very few Muslims that were represented in the anti-racist grouping. What we do find is that most, I would say, the majority of Australians are well aware of the fact that these misconceptions are being perpetuated, unfortunately, by opportunistic politicians, Tony Abbott probably being at the forefront there, to serve the interests of more often than not foreign states, multinational corporations, the oil lobby being right on top. People are wise to what is happening. The rise of alternate media, for example, the internet has really clarified most of these misconceptions. We do, though, still have a large group, fortunately not the majority, but a large enough group which is of concern that still need to come to better understand you know, the multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious tapestry that makes Australia such a wonderful place to live in and affords it its richness and its dynamism. The misconceptions would primarily be associated with identifying Islam as somewhat of a retrogressive tradition, associating it with a medieval demonic wicked evil orc-like entity. Now what needs to be understood is that a lot of this unfortunately comes as a consequence of a lack of familiarity with the faith, want a better words, complete redaction of the faith and its history from mainstream education. A lot is said about, for example, Roman history, Greek history, Egyptian history, But Islamic history that spans more than 1,000 years of enlightenment and of innovation, holding the torch of civilization when Europe indeed was in its dark ages, in its medieval ages, is completely redacted, completely omitted from mainstream education, mainstream schooling. Simple things like algebra and algorithms that make computers possible were actually introduced to the Western world by Islamic mathematicians, Muslim thinkers and scientists. So I think this has no doubt been a part of the problem, the fact that the religion, the contribution of Islam to civilization and how inextricably it is part of the Western world, the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, and the world today has been omitted. The step on the part of government to reintroduce mainstream society to that very important contribution will do a lot in dispelling a lot of those myths associated with the faith being retrogressive, backward, and anti-civilization.
Are any other state governments or territories, to your knowledge, doing anything about this? Doing any similar campaigns?
On a governmental level, and by governmental we're talking about ministerial level, I'm not aware. I assume that there would be like-minded individuals in other states, people who share a similar view and concerns as people like Mike Nehan. But offhand, no, I'm not quite aware of any other ministers that are promoting this initiative.
To some extent, this move by the state government flies in the face of the federal government, the Abbott government, and some of their campaigns and strategies targeting Islam and Muslims. Do you think that could be a reason why, I guess, other state government ministers aren't too forthcoming in promoting or accepting a campaign similar to this?
Look, it would challenge the narrative. Understand this much, that the narrative of counterterrorism has been preeminent in the Abbott government, effectively destroying essentially our democratic institutions, dismantling the rule of law. It's been profoundly effective in making a mockery of our civil liberties. The Abbott government, essentially in the name of this, what is really a bogus war on terror, has pillaged state coffers at the behest of foreign states in pursuing an undefinable war on terror at the expense of the most vulnerable in Australian society. If you look at our aged care facilities, our educational facilities, youth amenities, all are being compromised to fund a war that is unjustifiable, that is exacerbating global insecurity and instability. And worse still, what he's done, opportunistically so, and quite dishonorably, he's radicalized, like I suggested, a large segment of Australian society by demonizing and alienating an entire faith community. So, yes, no doubt, you know, Mike Nehan is essentially slapping the face of this grotesque monster that we've created in the likes of the policies of Tony Abbott.
Talk about this demonising, and that's an incredibly powerful word to use when it comes to this narrative that we see in Australia at the moment towards Islam and Muslims. Do you think, or why do you think this campaign is so important when, I guess, a recent poll came out a couple of weeks ago showing that Australian people believe that the most important thing that the government should be doing and is doing should be acting on terrorism? That is the narrative that we're talking about here. Do you yet you're quoted saying that mainstream Australians are simply fed up with this nonsense.
Yes, indeed. In fact, what you've said is not factually correct. Most Australians are more concerned about domestic violence, to be quite honest. Most Australians, to the best of my recollection, more than 75% of Australians are more concerned about whether they can pay bills at the end of the month. The fact of the matter is that in the last 14 years since the second leg of the Gulf campaign, in which Australia was complicit, the illegal invasion of Iraq based on a lie, and I need to reiterate it was based on a lie, acknowledged so, what we do find is that more than 12 million, and I need to reaffirm this number, and this is by no means an exaggerated number, this is a very conservative figure, 12 million Muslims have died in the Middle East and in Afghanistan, of which under the age of 18. Now, when we talk about demonizing, the Muslim community or Islam and the faith have been so far removed from the terms of reference in the minds of most Western audiences. By that I mean removed insofar as defining them within you know, the conventional terms of humanity. This representing the first step in effectively mandating genocide. It's instrumental in perpetuates what essentially is a bogus war on terror at the behest of foreign multinational companies and the Israeli state. Understand this much, that the Israeli state has been at the forefront of leading this campaign of destabilization of the Middle East and neutralizing Arab states, and effectively has emerged, thanks to ISIS as well, we can talk about ISIS in a little while, as the regional hegemon. What we do find is that the civilian population are effectively the target. 12 million people have been slaughtered. Now, how is that achieved? That has been achieved, firstly, by omitting these facts from mainstream discourse. Most Australians would be appalled at these figures. The fact that it's not being discussed in mainstream media is, well, I think an indictment of, you know, the state and the conventional media apparatus. The demonizing of the community affords a smokescreen behind which effectively the sovereign, and I need to emphasize this, this is all a distraction. The Muslim terrorist, the demonizing of the Muslim community, and I'll include in that the Reclaim Australia right-wing neo-Nazi fascist bigots as well. They're really not of particular concern, more so to the Muslim community. I would suggest not of particular concern. What is of particular concern to the Muslim community is the fact that the sovereignty of Australia, and that includes many other Western states, the wealth of Western peoples, the rule of law, the hard-won freedoms that Western people have had to fight for over more than 500 years have been jettisoned in the name of what essentially is a bogus war on terror and the demonizing of a target community. Muslims really have very little to lose. If you look at most Muslims that have come to Australia, they have been fleeing tyrannical states and regimes, ironically propped up by the United States and England, for example, and NATO. But they really have very little to lose. Their honor and integrity, their freedoms and their privileges, their rights. Effectively, Muslims have been enslaved since the days of colonization. We have no sovereignty. The Western world, unfortunately, is the target. And the sooner Western peoples come to realize this, the sooner they'll see the farce for what it is. Australia currently has engaged in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That is of greater concern to Australia, because effectively what's happened through the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is really not being discussed in mainstream media, at least in any significant way, is in essence the capitulating of Australia as a sovereign state to multinational corporations. What we do have with the TPP is effectively a stealing by stealth. Well, I guess all stealing is essentially by stealth. Through a collaboration of large multinational corporations and unfortunately the Abbott government in the wholesale gifting away of Australian industries, Australian jobs, Australian agriculture, the agricultural and pastoral industry, Australian infrastructure to foreign multinational corporations. What most Australians don't realize is that with the TPP, any disputes between Australia and other trading nations within the grouping will be resolved by institutions that are not subject to judicial processes and the rule of law. So effectively what happens if there's a dispute between an Australian company, for example, Australian community, dare I say, and a foreign multinational, it will be resolved through an arbitration mechanism outside the ambit of the judicial process. This is of primary concern. The Muslim community, terrorism, ISIS, Reclaim Australia, those are distractions. Very convenient distractions. We need to be very closely looking at what the government is doing. And by government, I'm not talking about the good people within government. There are very many good people. Ministers, individuals who are part and parcel of the cogs and wheels that afford us the amenities and the comforts that we enjoy in Australia. Not those people, but these insidious fifth column elements. Tony Abbott also is not of particular concern to me personally or to the Muslim community, dare I say. It's the voices whispering in his ear. Who writes the script? I think Australian
shadowy figures at the back.
Exactly. Australian society needs to be demanding who it is that essentially are determining these policies. For all intents and purposes, Tony Abbott is a puppet on a string.
I'm going to draw you back in. We're going to talk about this campaign that the WA state government has recently announced. The state government, Mike Nahan, has announced that a new in-depth campaign will be launched to, I guess, deal with the issue of multiculturalism and hatred against Islam and Muslim people in Australian society, and particularly here in Western Australia. We haven't seen anything in other states and territories echoing this move by the WA state government, though. This demonising, this... If you go to university and you study communications, one of your core units is going to be about how the East and the West interact and how historically how the West has always viewed the East, whether it be what's called Orientalism, as some studies write about it. And when you take a look at it, historically, the West has always done that, you know, whether it be in China or... Japan, or now in the Middle East as well. Getting rid of those sort of stereotypes and that view on the East isn't an easy thing. How's this campaign going to work?
Look, historically, there has never really been a construct like Europe that has been a point or term of reference. Even the Romans never worked with an entity called Europe. The Romans were a Mediterranean civilization, and they never viewed the world essentially in these terms of East and West. Neither did the Hellenes, the Greeks, nor did the Phoenicians or the Mesopotamians, the Persians, or for that matter, the Islamic empires that governed the world for 1,000 years across three continents. This is actually a modern construct. So historically, it's quite a fracture from the way the world was viewed by multiple generations of humanity that spend millennia. It's a new construct, essentially, that is used to legitimize or justify a very peculiar theory on the part of people like... the name evades me. It's on the tip of my tongue. The authors of The Clash of Civilizations, maybe you can help me. You know who I'm talking about. In any event, the name will come to mind. And this essentially is a neocon strategy to justify and legitimize the wholesale pillage, and dare I say, the second time round of erstwhile colonial powers. So is there this unbridgeable barrier between the two? The answer is no. I'm a classical example sitting in front of you. And coming from South Africa, more ironically so, the fact of the matter is that most people don't view the world in those terms.
No.
There's been a huge shift away from conventional, dare I say, traditional Western understandings of the world, and a more embracing global view, coupled with global concerns. One of the primary global concerns is no doubt the environment, pollution. That's galvanized the world. The concern about the welfare of humanity, the suffering of humanity, there's really very little that needs to be done. What needs to be done, though, is information campaigns, no doubt, that dispel myths and misconceptions amongst, I would say, smaller segments of the community that still languish under essentially the propagandizing of very insidious governments over the last few decades. What also needs to be done is what we're doing now, having conversations. Grassroots is really where it all begins and where it all really matters. We've initiated a campaign called The Imam, the Businesswoman, and the Guy Next Door, essentially opening up to the mainstream Australian community, Muslim members, Muslim community leaders, Muslim academics, Muslim thinkers, Muslim entrepreneurs, and affording the community the opportunity to ask any questions. We welcome blasphemy. We welcome controversy. And what you do find is that they are reasoned, balanced, and fair dinkum answers coming from the Muslim
campaign to improve the wider community's understanding of Islam and Muslims. If you can give us a couple of quick dot points on where you think we should be heading in terms of this campaign in particular, where should it start? You've mentioned education.
The best way to start is eating, breaking bread. That does more in dispelling misconceptions and misunderstandings and ignorance than anything else. The second is make love. I conduct lots of marriages. People need to get married.
I'm afraid we've got to go to the news.